Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
A volunteer lady was given the job of planting trees in memory of loved ones in a park in America. The trees were donated by family members in remembrance of their relatives. The lady took a friend with her when she went to plant her 24th tree. While they were at work, a woman approached them. "Remember the tree you planted for me the other day?" she asked. The volunteer lady nodded. "You planted it too close to the road. It needs to be moved." Then she turned and left. She may not have intended to be rude or sound ungrateful, but the volunteer lady admitted that of the 23 trees that she had already planted, only two people had remembered to say thank you. Today's Bible adventure is about being thankful for the things others do for us and taking the trouble to tell them so.
No, it may not be as bad as you think it's going to be. I've been here quite a while, so have most of us, and we haven't died of loneliness yet.
I'll never see my family. My own loved ones again. Never.
Oh, I know how he feels, poor fellow. I felt the same way when I first came here. Still do, I guess, but I'm used to it now.
One never gets used to being a leper. Cast out of society. Day by day, our flesh rots more and more. Any day, we may die.
You haven't heard about Jesus of Nazareth?
Not the Jesus of Nazareth.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, I have heard about him. Isn't he supposed to heal the sick and make the blind see and things like that?
He's not just supposed to. He does. Oh, you laugh.
Oh, no one can heal. No one has that much power. Not even Caiaphas, the high priest of Jerusalem.
Jesus does.
Well, what is he? Some sort of god or something?
Yes.
A god?
Yes, the son of God.
Oh, I've been here so long that I forget. But it does seem like I remember vaguely that we Israelites are looking forward to the coming of someone called the Messiah.
Jesus is the Messiah.
Well, how do you, a Samaritan, know about this?
I heard Jesus say that he is the Messiah.
Oh, well, saying so doesn't make it so, you know.
His power and works prove he's the Son of God.
Can he, has he the power to cure leprosy?
Unto him is given all power in heaven and earth. I heard him say so. So he can heal anything, even leprosy.
Do you really believe that?
I have complete belief and trust and faith in Jesus of Nazareth.
Then you have something the rest of us don't have. Hope. I wonder what would happen if we walked down there by that gate where all the people are gathering.
They'd scatter like dust in a storm.
Oh, yes.
That crowd down there by the gate, they're gathering around a man.
Jesus?
Jesus, yes, I'd know that kind face anywhere. Jesus! Jesus! I hope he hears us. Jesus!
He hears you. He's looking this way.
Jesus! We are lepers. 10 of us. Have mercy on us, Master!
Go, show yourselves unto the priests.
Go to the priests? They can't heal us.
No. Jesus wants us to go to the priests to be certified as cured. That's the law.
But we aren't cured.
We will be. Have faith and start to the priests, believing we will be, and we will. Come, follow me to the priests.
Your skin, it's clean, pure. Like a baby's.
So is yours.
The priests will have to pronounce us cured, and we can go home. Home!
Well, come on, to the priests.
Now to go home. I hope my wife remembers me. It has been so long.
Healed. Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh, now to go home to my family.
But first I must go and give thanks to Jesus. I must fall at his feet and worship him, for truly he is the Son of God.
Were there not 10 healed?
Yes, my lord.
Where are the 9?
This healing of the 10 lepers is recorded in Luke chapter 17 as Jesus passed through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem. Lepers had a degree of hopelessness greater than most other people in their society. Just as the Lord Jesus made a difference in those lepers' lives, he can make a difference in ours too. When the trials of life seem tough and unsolvable, there's still hope in God. In these times, we think of Proverbs chapter 10, where it says, "The hopes of the godly result in happiness." No matter how hopeless things seem here on earth, in Jesus we have ultimate eternal hope. Those who know the Lord Jesus personally as their Lord and Savior understand just how much their future life will be a joyful one in heaven. There's so much more living to do beyond the grave. The Lord Jesus told the 10 men to go to the priest to be checked for healing and cleanliness, which would enable them to be accepted back into Jewish society. When the 10 lepers set out for the priests, they were still lepers, but they obeyed Jesus' instructions anyway. How important is being obedient to the Lord Jesus for a disciple of his these days? When a person believes in Jesus and decides to follow him, the new believer is increasingly motivated to obey God out of love for him. Obedience is also motivated by faith in believing who Jesus says he is. But obedience itself is not the way Jesus said people would get to heaven. Only faith in Jesus Christ as Savior will do this. Obedience is the result of faith, not the road to eternal life. In 1976, Israeli commandos made a daring raid on an airport in Uganda to free 103 Jewish hostages. They rushed into the airport building and they shouted in their native language to lie down on the floor. All the Jewish people knew what they said and almost all obeyed the command. The kidnappers didn't know what was said and remained upright until they were shot by the commandos. The raid would have been completely successful if 2 of the hostages hadn't hesitated and remained standing, probably to see what was going on. They lost their lives for disobedience. Another man who was lying down jumped to his feet to see what was going on. He died too. If those 3 had obeyed the commando's shouts, they too would have been freed like the rest of the captives. Salvation from sin is open to all people everywhere, but we must heed Jesus Christ's command to repent and to make him our Lord. We must worship and obey him above all else. When you genuinely believe that Jesus died on a cross to take away your sin, ask for his forgiveness, that he will forget it forever. In believing that Jesus is God's Son and God's gift of love to save people from their sinful state inside, God will empower you to trust and obey him by his own indwelling Holy Spirit. The Spirit will live and work in you and help you to follow God's ways and values. But if we cling to our self-centeredness, we will ultimately perish with the judgment meant for Satan, God's enemy. Although it's never too late to stop living a life of disobedience to God, our eternal destination is the most important business we have to consider in this life. Putting off consideration of these things may mean that an unexpected illness or accident may bring life to a close without an opportunity to finalize such matters. Now is the best time to decide to live for Jesus. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, obey my commandments." Following the lessons you read in the Bible will set you free from the habit of slavery to sin. You can turn away from all these self-motivated pleasures dishonoring to the Lord and live an obedient life for him, enjoying all his wonderful blessings. Obeying God is the only way to stay in fellowship with him. God's call for your obedience is based on his own commitment to your well-being. Since Jesus is the creator of life, he knows how life is supposed to work. Obedience demonstrates your willingness to follow through on what God says, and trust that God's way is best for you, and you deserve to have a close relationship with him. Is there a difference between obedience and performance then? It's important to understand that while obedience leads to life, performance leads to death. Here are some opposites worthy of remembering. Obedience is seeking God with your whole heart. Performance is having a quiet time because you feel guilty if you don't. Obedience is finding ways to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Performance is quickly scanning a passage so you can check it off your Bible reading plan or daily list of tasks to do. Obedience is doing your best. Performance is wanting to be the best. Obedience springs from the fear of God. Performance springs from the fear of failure. These sayings sort out our motives for why we do things. If we're doing things with the wrong motives of performance, pray to God and ask for his forgiveness. Ask him to help to get you out of those situations where you're trapped into performance, and be prepared to repent and change your ways as the Holy Spirit shows you that your affections are to be for Christ and not for yourself. As the 10 lepers travelled along the road, they discovered that they had been healed. What a wonderful thing! How pleased they were with this result! The only foreigner, a Samaritan among them, went back to the Lord to say, "Thank you for being healed." The Samaritan fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, praising God and giving thanks. When Jesus asked where the other 9 Jewish men were, it implied that the others were not truly grateful for their blessed healing. Jesus told the Samaritan to get up and go home, as his faith had made him well in both body and soul. Where the other 9 had received bodily healing, the Samaritan had also received spiritual healing. If we don't come to God and thank him for the blessings we have received in this life, we can't expect to receive any of his blessings in the life to come. God always wants us to have a thankful heart. There are many things in this life we simply take for granted. An elderly pastor was invited to a lunch attended by Christian people. When it came time for thanks to be said for the food, the speaker thanked God for all the gifts received from him, including the food and water. The elderly pastor was so taken by the fact that he'd never given thanks for water before that he didn't listen to the rest of the prayer. What are we really thankful for? Do you realize that God tells us that we are to be thankful for everything, as it's said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Who has given thanks for the difficulties through which the world is passing, or the financial uncertainty, or the rise in persecution of Christians? Some people will say that these things bring misery and hardship to many people, and that they are not a subject for thanksgiving. They suggest that if we are thankful for them, we show our desire for them to continue. Both of these conclusions are wrong. If these difficulties reach us personally, we should take the same attitude that the Holy Spirit taught Paul when he was asking the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. Since we know that all things work together for the good of those who love Jesus, we must take the attitude of thankfulness for anything that the Lord sends us. If the difficulties and misery of this world don't reach us personally, we can be thankful to see the prophecies in Scripture now being fulfilled. When the violent storms of judgment are past, we will know that the eternal calm of victory will follow for all those who love him. This is God's ultimate plan for his people. When we see others suffering, we are led by God's Spirit to have compassion and tenderness toward them, and we can help them wherever we can. God is the author of all our blessings, and he desires, appreciates, and even seeks our praise and thanksgiving. When trials and circumstances test us, we're to thank God for those too, as he never makes a mistake. He allows only those things into the life of his children that are for our profit and his glory. The other side of thankfulness, however, is ingratitude, or a failure to thank God, which is a great step away from him. People are able to look up and see the glories of the universe. This should turn their hearts toward God as the heavens declare his power and infinite greatness. This knowledge alone takes away every excuse people say on Judgment Day as to why they didn't thank God for all his care and blessings. When we discover just how much love God has for us, we're grateful, and our inner self often resounds with thanks to God. This thankfulness flows into joy, and God is the source of all our joy. Let us keep an attitude of gratefulness and be filled with joy. In Psalms chapter 145, verses 2 and 3, the psalmist David wrote, "Every day I will thank you, I will praise you forever and ever. The Lord is great and to be highly praised. His greatness is beyond understanding." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.